that's a good thing. Well, good evening, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, and this net is conducted weekly at a frequency of 146.835 megahertz, 2 meter repeater of the Venture Cruise 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York, but serving Bergen County and adjacent counties, Lower Hudson Valley, southwestern Connecticut, etc. Hopefully, well within your range. We also have an Echo Link, KD2BKD, Kilo Delta 2 Bravo Kilo Delta Dash Lima. You're welcome to access that way as well. And just for good measure, the repeater uses 151.4PL, 151.4PL, and also has a offset of minus 600 kilohertz. Purpose of that is having a technical conversation. And the purpose of this is to also basically talk about, you know, electronics in general, amateur radio in specific, computers, telecommunications, natural sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby, and also an opportunity to do trade or swap or for sale stuff. Can't bargain and negotiate over the radio, but you can certainly state your equipment and what you want for it, and leave the negotiation for someplace else. But anyway, on that happy note, let's see if people are around who want to participate. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey, please call K2BAR.
WB2, KQT, Oregon, Oregon.
Comment?
Okay, Bob, I have you with a comment. Art, I have you. What are your intentions?
Well, this is the first time I checked into the net. And I do have a question relating to ham radio, but I'll wait for that.
All I need to know is what the general direction is. It's a question. That's fine. Don't need to have the question. Just need to know whether it's question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted. We'll get to those. That's great. Welcome aboard, Art. Welcome to this fine net. Any other whiskeys? Okay, nothing heard. How about November?
This is N2GDY.
N2, gosh darn Yankee. Welcome aboard. I think it's Bob. Welcome aboard. That means your first time on the net as well. What are your intentions, sir?
Just listening by. Over.
Splendid. Okay. You bring a little public safety expertise, public safety communications expertise to this. I'm kind of like letting people know what they got with you. While I'm at it, I'll let people know that Art's a really handy guy, very skilled craftsman, and is not afraid to ask a question. That's why he's so smart. It's pretty much why we're all pretty smart, because we're not afraid to ask a question and say, I don't know. That's the beauty of this group. Alrighty, any other Novembers?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, the repeater checked it. Alrighty, how about kilos?
Kilo 2, Lima Alpha X-ray, and I will have a comment. Over.
Yes, you will. We'll talk about the repeater in more detail. Alrighty. And actually, I have a question for you, which you may or may not want to answer here, but that's fine. Do you want to... it's regarding just how to set yourself up for the Bergen County Racy's repeater, which I don't think many people know about, so I'd like you to kind of do a little public service announcement about that, if you don't mind, as part of your comments. John? And let's see, any other kilos? Alrighty, moving on to alphas. My wife is checking in with the comment, when will we be home? The answer is inside of 10 minutes, since we're off the highway. Alrighty, that note. Alright, anybody on Echo? If those who have really good... good ears. Chicago Transit Authority is in the background is asking, does anybody really know what time it is? And I'm, boy, am I a silly mood tonight. Alrighty, let's move on to the task at hand. Bob, let's go to you first. WA2. Good Lord. ISC, I don't, had a brain fart there. WA2 ISC, your comment, sir. K2BAR.
Oh, K2BAR, WA2 ISC. Was working on a project, related to radio, but not really ham radio, but AM broadcast radio reception, namely where I used a FET, a JFET, in a, what they call the ohmic region to basically create a variable resistance based on a control voltage to widen or narrow the passband of an IF transformer. Over.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, describe that region again and spell that out. And when you bias it into that region, how does that work exactly?
That region of the JFET is very close to zero voltage and zero current. Basically, if you look at the set of curves on a JFET, the control voltage and current output, down near the lower left corner, you'll see what looks like a bunch of straight lines centered around zero. So basically, that's the area that I'm trying to use. Right around there, it looks like a resistor that can change depending on what voltage you put on the gate of the device. And thus, change the voltage on the gate, change the resistance between the drain and the source terminals. Over.
Right. Do you have to apply any voltage on the drain or the source, what voltage do you apply to the drain or the source? In this case, the source, I guess, would be the right answer.
Ideally, you want zero voltage across them. That way, it's down right at the zero, current zero voltage point. We're talking like a few milliamps of or millivolts of RF energy like you find across an IF transformer LC circuit. And to get the control voltage, I grab a hold of the automatic gain control voltage line. And I arrange things so that a strong signal, the IF transformer will become more, the bandwidth will become more broad, thus allowing higher frequencies of audio to be received. And when you tune into a distant station, the bandwidth becomes narrower because the AGC voltage goes towards the weak signal voltage. And thus, you avoid getting what they call monkey chair, which is basically adjacent channel audio. Over.
Okay, so we've all tuned in very strong signals with narrow filters, and it sounds just terrible. And you're right, so you want full fidelity when the signal is really strong. You want narrower fidelity when the signals are really, really weak, because that way you can discern the essential parts of the signal from the noise, because yes, by narrowing the passband, your signal-to-noise ratio is improved. So, as the resistance goes up, the passband narrows. As the resistance goes down, it widens. Assuming that's true, then which direction is the voltage going on the gate?
Okay, on the gate itself, like you want the, I have to check to make sure, but it's the gate has a negative voltage on it, and the closer it gets to the voltage of the drain and source, the lower the resistance goes, and thus the bandwidth of the IF transformer becomes broader. Also, the gain of the IF transformer also drops, but that doesn't much matter for a strong signal. It's almost like you're assisting the rest of the HEC circuit to reduce the gain. And when the when it's a weak signal condition, we arrange things so that the gate goes more negative, so that the resistance goes up, thus putting less of a burden on the LC circuit and becomes narrower. Over.
Okay, right. And the drain and the gate is negatively biased. That's a good point. The other question I have for you is, to what radio or receiver did you apply this, and did you need to use a voltage divider on the gate in order to should we say scale it appropriately?
Actually, I needed to use like a grounded emitter style bipolar transistor type gain circuit to translate from the AGC voltage to a control voltage. I had the IF transformer. It was attached to the B plus line, like it's about like 8 or 10 volts or so in the transistor radio, so that the weak signal condition, the transistor, the translation transistor draws more current, pulling down the gate. There's like a resistance from the collector to the B plus line. And on weak signal conditions, the AGC voltage pretty much puts that transistor into a cutoff so that there's hardly any current. Thus, the voltage goes up through that collector resistor. Over.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Interesting. So, are you going to post that somewhere on either the mesh web or elsewhere?
Yeah, I've got it posted on the internet, but I'll post a page on my mesh network, my WA2IC webpages website on the mesh in a couple of days.
And I'm going to make another suggestion before I pass it around, that you consider the idea of sending it to the Barra bulletin editor. I think that's a really slick circuit. Couple of transistors, you know, a FET and a bipolar and not much else, and away you go. I think that's pretty cool. Very cool. Anybody have any comments? Okay, Bob, I have one more. What radio did you apply this to?
It's an older solid-state General Electric AM-FM radio that I've had for years. So, and I also applied it to another General Electric solid-state radio. These were made in around 1970 or so. Over.
Okay. I got you. So you haven't tried it in the amateur band side or general coverage receiver or something. I think that'd be splendid to try. Very good. That's just super. But I would encourage you to send the circuitry and maybe a couple of pictures of what it did to the Barra bulletin. I think that'd be great.
Okay, I'll throw something together then. Anyway, WA2IC, K2BAR.
All right, very good. Alrighty, let's see. John, I'm going to throw it to you, and then I'm going to throw it to Art, and then I'll throw my stuff at the end. So, John, your turn, K2LAX, K2BAR.
Right, this is Kilo 2 Lima Alpha X-ray, and I was part of an exercise where we were we have three basically portable repeater units in Bergen County Races that we're trying to set up for emergency use. And they've been around for a while, but we had to reprogram them. Nobody had cables, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, we have this licked, and interesting apparatuses. They're Kenwood TMV71As. They're dual banders. They do crossplex, duplex, all that stuff. So basically, the idea is to set it up so that you can
run UHF, connect to DHF, to the outside world, to another repeater. I don't know if anybody has any questions about it. It was, they work, is all I can say. We tested them, and it seems like it's going to be a good tool to have accessible for the county.
Okay, so I have one quick question.
Go ahead.
Say that they're based on the TMV-71A. They are two transceivers per repeater?
I believe so. Basically, the dual bander version of that is actually TM-71E. I didn't see that. I just saw that now. I'm looking at the book.
I'm sorry, say again?
The model number is actually Tango Mike Victor 7-1 Echo.
Oh. Tango Mike Victor 7-1 Echo, okay. I'll have to look that up. That's interesting. Alrighty, and that allows you to have in-building and out-building access or extend ranges in the field. Let's say if you have a field team going up and over a rock somewhere, you can set a temporary repeater up on a hilltop, and away you go.
Yeah, that's one of the there's two basic challenges that these units are being programmed for. One is that you have no communications in a large building, and so you're using UHF inside the building, but you need to be able to talk to a repeater, and so we set it up as a crossband with the VHF, and the VHF talks to another repeater. The other use for it is literally to where you're running literally just to boost the signal VHF to VHF, and the intent is there to, if the repeaters go down and we need a temporary repeater to be able to reach the Bergen County EOC, then we'll be able to set that up quickly.
That sounds pretty cool. So Tango Mike Victor 7-1 Echo, we're going to have to look at that. That's an interesting little device. So probably based on the same platform as the ham rig, which is great. But with some other things, including apparently duplexers involved, that's pretty cool. Very reminiscent of what Yaesu Vertex did with the STM-400. They took those units and made a repeater out of it that's either VHF or UHF, but no duplexer. In fact, you can cross-band them and you can make infusion and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So, and it's got similar programming issues. While we're at it, Mr. John, could you make a little public service announcement regarding people's need to program the Bergen County Race Chaser repeater into their radios and what's involved in doing that generically?
Well, right now we're still in test mode, is what I understand. I'm trying to see if the information is on site. Hang on just one second. It doesn't look like the information is ready for public Gordon yet, but I can tell you what the receive frequency is, and then I can fill in the next meeting, the next net, once that gets published. And the receive frequency is 146.4450. Over.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a 1 meg slip. We already know that. But so if you get the receive, you know what the transmit is. But I guess, you know, things like the PL and such, that's not ready for prime time.
Not ready for prime time yet.
Okay. Well, everybody might want to keep an ear out on 146.445. 146.445, and that's the new frequency that will be used when it's ready by Bergen County Racing, so it'll be excellent. It will be a 1 meg split machine. It's gene set. And frankly, because it's one meg split, will be a lot easier to build duplex accesses, crossband accesses, such as the ones you were discussing, with and without duplexers. So that, you know, that it, or with simple duplexers or separated antennas and things. So I think that's just a, you know, just a splendid choice for the county to have that asset. So more power to you.
Yeah, and for sure, Gordon, by, we are having a meeting, I believe it's a date real quick, September 20th, and all of this stuff will be finalized at that time, and I'm assuming you're going to come up, Gordon?
Yes, sir. That is the plan.
Excellent. But anyway, if I have the information before then, I will gladly share it. Over.
Yeah, the Bergen County RACES meeting is actually September 20th. It's probably 7 o'clock, if I recall. It'll be in Mahwah, if I recall, as well. And there will be good things to follow from that. So, alrighty. Anybody have any questions, comments, confusions about RACES or the repeater technology or this interesting device that John's been messing with or similar devices? I just looked out in my street and noticed that there is a line of blue strips up and down my street. It looks like the town is going to be tearing up the road again. God help us all. Anyway, hopefully those are, you know, just a, you know, markers for somebody else, but looks like the whole block's going to get trenched at some point. Alrighty. Let's see. Anything else you want to cover, John?
Oh, I might as well announce a little station upgrade here. I'm due to receive my Mosley 20-band mini beam next week and hope to get it up quickly. Over.
20-band? I guess it's a log periodic.
No, I'm sorry, 20-meter band. Over.
Oh, so a monobander? A monobander on 20, huh? That's cool.
Actually, it's 10, 15, 20, but I don't really use 10 or 15, so I consider it a single bander. Over.
Yeah, well, 10 is pretty cool when it opens, and, you know, it's nice to have the optional. Good for you. What'd you get, a TA-33?
Whatever they call the mini beam, it has a, what is it, a 16-foot radius or something like that.
Yeah, it's not so bad. Yeah, I think that's a 33. Yeah, I wish I had known that. I would have gladly spotted you pieces of used ones enough to, you know, give you spare parts and everything. So I have a collection of that kind of stuff, but okay. Well, a new one is not a bad thing either. Makes setting up a lot easier. Alrighty. Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. What are you going to hold it up on, and how high is it going to be?
Oh, it's going to go on the existing military 2-inch mast I've got up, and it'll be about 20 feet above the roof.
Oh, do you have one of those 577 things?
I don't really know what it is. It's Army surplus. It comes in 4-foot sections. They're built like a tank. And basically, since I have a bearing support, you know, I can hang it up there, and it'll take a 100-mile-an-hour wind load. Over.
Okay. Is it one with the little gantry launcher so as you stick each section in, you're going to launch them from the bottom and stick it and make it higher and higher?
Yeah, kind of. It's really more like a tent pole.
Okay, these are the standard, slightly less than 2-inch military poles, the green poles, like the ones I use?
Yep, that's it.
Wow. A TA-33? Yeah, I guess you could do that. Put the you're going to put the rotator on top or the rotator at the bottom?
Rotator's on the bottom.
Yeah, and if you've got a bearing to turn it on, that's a great idea. Boy, not having to have a rotator in the sky is a beautiful thing. I have been tempted for years to extend my mast through my tower and bring the rotator right down to the ground, or like 3 feet off the ground so the snow doesn't get it. But I have not yet done that. There's a lot more to it. I've got a 24-foot mast, of which about a foot or so is in the tower. I have a shelf and another thrust bearing somewhere. If I can't find it, I gotta get another TB3, and I want to put that another 2 feet down, shorten the mast by 2 feet, and basically put the rotator a little further down, so that way there's no lateral play on the rotator whatsoever. Then I would actually, if I drop 4 feet of my mast, at that point I would be able to service the rotator while standing on a relatively flat roof next to the tower, and that would be a whole lot nicer. And as I get older, I'm thinking that's probably a really smart decision to make. The other question is, how do I then get the mast up and down when I want to change the antennas, which is a whole other conversation. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge another day. I also have a 3.5-inch mast through my roof that's capped so it doesn't rain in the house. And it goes up through a pretend vent that's got a skirt around it to keep rain on it, or rain out of the house, and snow and such like that, and that works out real well too. Right now it's not on a rotator, but it is sitting on a bearing. It's sitting in the corner of my office desk, in the corner that's a bridge too far on my desk. So as I clean up my office, I'm going to get that working again and put the rotator back on the floor of under the operating desk. That's going to be very cool. So anyway, enough of that. Anything else? Anybody have anything for John? Okay, John, you have any more?
Nothing more here, Gordon. Thank you. Back to you.
Alrighty. Let's see, what was my thing? Oh, my big accomplishment this week was getting a light panel installed in the van. And now I have to drop the headliner a little bit and pull those little snap clips off, and just to make sure I can run wire without poking into stuff and drilling into things. I don't want to accidentally cause a problem, but it's really, really nice the way this, I got a light switch panel. I bought it for like $40. It's meant for a boat, but I have it mounted inside the vehicle and it looks good. I got to put sides on it now. But the sides are going to have meters and on my side and power poles on both sides, so that we can add auxiliary radios up on the switch panel directly, as well as tripping remote relays elsewhere in the vehicle. So that's pretty cool. And I guess that's it for now. All right, WB2TQT, Art, it's over to you. What have you to say?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Gordon, do you use K2BAR, or do you use your call sign?
K2BAR for this, I'm sorry.
I didn't get that. Say again, please.
Yeah, for this net, I use K2BAR.
Oh, okay. K2BAR, this is WB2TQT. Good evening, Gordon. Nice to hear you on the net for the first time. Anyhow, Tuesday night, Larry mentioned something to me. He's using a D104 microphone on his HF rig, and he suggested that I maybe try it on my Icon 7300. So, I don't remember much about that D104 mic, but I know the mic on the Icon is an electric condenser mic, and it has a plus 8-volt DC output. So, I don't know if it's a good idea to even try that, whether or not it would work any better, because I get excellent audio reports with the handheld mic, The only dilemma that I have with the handheld mic is I got two handheld mics on my desk, and sometimes I pick up the wrong one and wondering why nobody hears me. So, wonder if anybody has any experience with that, whether or not it's a worthwhile thing to even try. May get lousy audio reports and may not even work properly. So, that's about my only tech question. And I believe it was Tuesday night, Gordon, you said you had some ham M routers. I'll have to speak to you about that. I'm looking for a particular part, and maybe we can work something out. But anyhow, that's not critical. So with that, I'll turn it back to Net Control. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, Art, very good. Well, let's see. A couple of things come to mind. Regarding the rotator thing, just get that out of the way real quick. If you have my phone number, great. If you don't, I'll give it to you. And please feel free to give me a call after the net, or I can call you after the net, whichever you want. That's no problem. Number two, regarding the microphone, so depending on which D104 you have, it may or may not work well. So the classic D104 is a high impedance crystal microphone. It's got, a lot of highs, it's got a lot of punch, and it really does work very well. If you have the preamplified one, then I believe you can take the high impedance and make it a low impedance output, either through jumpers or through a switch. I'm trying to remember what it was, but anyway, it might be an internal switch. It might even be a jumper. I just don't remember. But the radio you have, I believe, is a roughly 600 ohm microphone load. I again could be wrong about that. So check the impedance of your microphone input of your 7300 and check what kind of D104 you have. Do you know?
Well, it doesn't have a preamplifier in it, that I remember. And I'm looking at the manual for this radio, and it says the microphone input impedance is 600 ohms. So, and now that you mentioned it, yeah, I remember now that it was a crystal microphone. And it worked well with my old Drake Beatline, but I have no idea how it would work with the Sycon 7300. That was something Larry suggested, so, it would certainly be a nicer arrangement than this handheld, but maybe it's not worth the trouble, so I don't know. Anyhow, I can give you my phone number after the net or whatever, and probably easier to call me, because I'm not usually pretty late. Back to net.
Yeah, Roger, we can certainly do that. Well, a couple of things. You could look up the impedance of the old B-line, T4XB or T4X?
Yeah, T4XB and R4B receiver.
Yeah, so go look up the mic impedance of the T4XB, and if it's in the same general range, around 600 ohms, maybe even up to about 1,000, I would be tempted to try that.
Oh, that's positive news. I have no idea what type of results I would get. I mean, it's an old microphone, and I was surprised Larry's still using it, and he seems to be happy with it, I don't know. If it's not going to screw up my 7300, which I definitely don't want it to do, I got the pinout layout here, and so it shouldn't be too difficult. And I do have the manuals for the Drake, so I can look that up. Back to that.
Or in the time it takes you to get off of your chair and find the manuals, you can look it up on your phone or your tablet.
Forget about my phone. I do have the manuals, but they're in a file cabinet on the ham radio stuff. And let me see, maybe I can pull them out.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. It'd be very interesting. I think Larry's onto something. If the impedances are reasonable, why the hell not try it? I think it'd be pretty awesome. I think it would sound really, really good. As they say, film at 11. let's see, I had another topic I wanted to bring up while you're looking for your manual. What was it now? I know what it was. I have a single section of, I guess it's a heights tower, it's a top section, but it also has a base on it, so, you know, it's meant to, you know, be, you know, mounted, and I'm thinking, because it's only a 10-foot section, and I already have about 10 feet on my roof, I'm actually considering, you know, building a, you know, if I can get myself some redwood decking, putting it across my my roof rack in various places, and put that 10-foot section on the roof, and be able to pop it up when I want to have hold one second. I got a ladybug, not a ladybug, firefly that got into my vehicle and somehow was landing on me, and hopefully it's going to fly out now. First it was behind my ear, then it landed on my hand. And, anyway, there we go. Hopefully it's gone. But anyway, I was thinking about doing that. Another approach is to just simply have something a little more modest, not quite as tall. But if I did put it on the roof rack, I would actually, when it's erect, I would just guy it use snaplings to make it easy to put in place and remove. I just want to know if anybody had any thoughts about that.
Well, you may want to consider, I know redwood is very expensive, a lot of people use it on decks, but, you know, a lot of people are changing over to that plastic wood that looks almost like real wood, and I think it actually lasts longer than, may last longer than redwood.
Oh, tracks, yeah. Trucks would be hot, but I I'm not going to go up there barefoot, so why not? Sure. The other thing you can do with Trex to make things a little bit safer is you can actually paint it with that gritty material, tractional material, to make it more safe to go up there too.
Yeah, I've seen that in stores, but. I think, not sure where I saw it last. Maybe even Home Depot has it. Might have been Harbor Freight. I don't know. But, you know, if you look around, you'll probably come up with it. Even try eBay.
eBay for tracks, really?
Are you talking about, like, a rubber tracks to go on top of the wood?
No. Trex is, instead, okay, the plastic stuff instead of redwood that you suggested, the popular brand is called Trex, T-R-E-X. And what I was saying is you could paint the top of it to have a gritty anti-skid surface.
Yes, I'm sure you could do that. And I have seen those type of paints, but I'm not quite sure where you can get it. But I'm sure if you look around and do a search on the internet, Gordon, you'll come up with something. Even the stair threads, and some commercial buildings have stuff like that on it. I did find the manual, but I don't see anything about the impedance. What does it say? It tells you what type of plug to use and something else. I'd have to go through this whole thing and see if I can find something a little more detailed. Back to Ned.
Okay. KTBAR. Anyway. I'm looking up this on the internet as we speak, just to see if I can find it for you. T4X, you moron. That's hilarious. I typed TX4 and wondered why it wouldn't work.
Yes, T4XB.
Oh, I know. Let me tell you something. As a kid, I was more than happy to drool over a beeline. And then Bob Sherwood came out with his filters and his mods for the C-line. And I looked at the, you know, characteristics of all that good stuff. And boy, did I start drooling over that. And of course, never owned one. But, you know, the good slash bad news is that, you know, it's great stuff. I mean, it really is. I mean, I did an analysis of what it takes to put 100 watts on HF through 432, including FM on the VHF band, the four VHF bands, plus 6 meters. And without antennas and having a really decent kind of radio station, you were northbound of $10,000 in 1978 when I did that little analysis. I hadn't gotten to coaxes, I hadn't gotten to really crazy receivers or antennas or rotators or towers, just the equipment to get RF in and out of the shack.
Oh yeah, K2BARWB2 TQT for ID. Yeah, I probably paid as much for this Drake line back in the, I guess, late 60s or early 70s, whenever I got. Obviously, I think I get the receipt here. Oh, 72 I bought it. 330-72. Oh no, wait a minute, that's the, yeah, it was 72, July 7, 72 rather, yeah. I paid probably more for these, the R4B and the T4XB than I paid for my 7300, and the 7300 just blows it away. Back to that.
Oh yeah, yeah, but the T4XB sounds so good. I actually like the sound of the mechanical filters better than I do the C-lines. I mean, the C-line is better to use as an IF for higher frequencies, and you know, I'm always listening into the noise and stuff like that, so that's always sweet. But in general, I thought the mechanical filters of the B-line just sound better. They just do, both on receive, let alone transmit. So, by inference, I have should we say, addressed the question. Heil sells a matching transformer for $18 that will match the, quote, higher impedance of older radios like Drake, Collins, Johnson, etc., to the Heil 1,000-ohm microphone elements. So my guess is that it's a much higher impedance than 1,000 ohms, which is interesting. So you could probably, you know, use that transformer in reverse and, you know, wire it in and away you go. I think that'll be pretty good. I mean, like it's saying here, the Shure 444 High Z is always a good choice for the T4 ABC.
It says that somebody made a comment that the D-104 might be, you know, too hot. But I think that's referring to the pre-amplified version. But yeah, I think you'll find the impedance somewhere for that online. Once you establish the impedance and the ratios involved, if you're reasonably close, you might find that turning the Heil sound transformer in reverse might do the trick. Although it may not. You know what? Did you think to go ask Larry what he did? Whether he uses an amplified D-104?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Probably next kit night. I'll ask him about that if he's there. And I'm not sure which radio he's using it with. I know he has the C-line, but I think he's got some problems with it. So he's using something else, obviously. But anyhow, it's not high priority. It was just a question, you know. It's an idea that I had. Larry wrote it up, and I said, yeah. I mean, it's a tech net, so let me ask something technical. But I am in the process of rebuilding a rotor, and so I will give you my number. Whenever you want it, I'll give it to you.
Alrighty. Go right ahead.
Okay. It's 201-967-0257.
Okay, I've locked it. I'll dial it after the net. Are there any other check-ins, comments, questions, confusions for the net? I think we had a very interesting net tonight. Bob, I liked your circuitry. It was very clever. I'd like to see that in print and possibly even the barrel bulletin. I think that'd be excellent. And John, good luck with your new antenna, and thank you for the information regarding the TMV, the Kenwood Tango Mike Victor 71 Echo. If it was a portable repeater, we're going to look more up about that later on. And also the information about the Bergen County RACES meeting scheduled for the 20th of September up in Mahwah. I think it's at 7 o'clock. So I look forward to seeing everybody there, and we'll have some further information regarding the county SET. We might do that in conjunction with the RACES folks. We might do it separately. Who knows? Might even do it in conjunction with both counties and get being Bergen and Passaic. So I think Ali needs to plan another thing, like he needs to shoot himself right about now. And we've got some interesting things about mesh that we're doing, too. We'll talk about that another time. But we're trying to standardize our field deployments so that make them brain-dead simple. And we'll talk about that another day. So, last but not least, anybody have any last comments? Okay, I want to thank everyone for participating in the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. We'll see you at 9 o'clock next Thursday. And this is KQBAR, saying 73, and wishing you a good night. I'll be QRT for right now.
NJ2BS, repeat.